ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये अष्टप्रायशो भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text Number 27. Yaha svakat parato veha,
yaha svakat parato veha,
yaha svakat parato veha, जात निर्वेद आत्मवान्
जात निर्वेद आत्मवान्
हृदि कृत्वा हरिङ्गेहात् हृदि कृत्वा
हरिङ्गेहात्
प्रव्रजेत् स नरोत्तमः प्रव्रजेत् स नरोत्तमः यः स्वकात् परतो वेह जात निर्वेद आत्मवान् हृदि कृत्वा हरिङ्गेहात् प्रव्रजेत् स नरोत्तमः यः स्वकात् परतो वेह जात निर्वेद आत्मवान् हृदि कृत्वा हरिङ्गेहात् Synonyms: Yaha, anyone who, Swakat, by his own awakening, Paratahava, or by hearing from another, Iha, here in this world, Jata, becomes Nirvedah, indifferent to material attachment. Atmavan, consciousness. Hridi, within the heart. Kritva, having been taken by. Harim, the personality of Godhead. Gehat, from home. Pravrajit, goes away. Saha, he is. Nara Uttamah, the first class human being. Translation: He is certainly a first class man who awakens and understands either by himself or from others the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on the personality of Godhead residing within his heart. Translation, please repeat. He is certainly a first class man.
He is certainly a first class man.
Who awakens and understands.
Who awakens and understands.
Either by himself or from others.
Either by himself or from others.
The falsity and misery of this material world.
The falsity and misery of this material world.
And thus leaves home.
And thus leaves home.
And depends fully on the personality of Godhead.
And depends fully on the personality of Godhead.
Residing within his heart.
Residing within his heart.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely, number one, the Dhira, or the one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Number two, one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. And number three, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his heart. The idea is that the renounced order of life, after a frustrated life of sentiment in the material world, may be the stepping stone on the path of self-realization. But real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in everyone's heart as Paramatma. One may live in the darkest jungle, alone, out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him, and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., in association with pure devotees. And this practice will help one awaken God consciousness in proportion to one's sincerity of purpose. One who desires material benefit by such devotional activities can never depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he sits in everyone's heart, nor does the Lord give any direction to persons who worship him for material gain. Such materialistic devotees may be blessed by the Lord with material benefits, but they cannot reach the stage of the first class human being as above mentioned. There are many examples of such sincere devotees in the history of the world, especially in India, and they are our guides on the path of self-realization. Mahatma Vidura is one such great devotee of the Lord, and we should all try to follow in his lotus footsteps for self-realization. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Bharuti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tharanam Vancha Kalpa Taru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnami Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaurabhata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So continuing in this chapter where Dhritarashtra quits home, soon he will quit home. It's a long chapter, I think 60 verses, around 60 verses. So in these verses, these around 10 verses, we are seeing how Vidura is powerfully preaching to his brother Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra was in a very fearful situation. He lost all his sons, they lost the war, and after that he is residing in the house of those whom he tried to kill, even from their childhood, like his son Duryodhan. Always he was conspiring how to kill Bhima and other Pandavas. And Dhritarashtra always, he never took any action. He didn't ever stop Duryodhan because he wanted his son to rule. But Pandavas were very virtuous. They were devotees and they were entitled to the kingdom. The kingdom was to be ruled by them. But Dhritarashtra, he was blind spiritually and materially, so he couldn't understand that he should listen to the genuine advice given by Vidura. Vidura used to tell him always, that how he should attain self-realization. When Duryodhan was born, Vidura told that you must kill this son, but he did not. And then ultimately, Duryodhan was the reason that how the whole dynasty was destroyed. So that's a purpose of a devotee. He always tries to reach out to those who are in a fearful situation. So fearful situation of Dhritarashtra was from the beginning actually. Even before the war, he was in a very sad situation. And when the battle of Mahabharata was about to start, so he had his minister, secretary, Sanjay. So he asked him, "Oh, what's going on the battlefield?" As we know, the first verse of Bhagavad Gita starts with Dhritarashtra Uvacha, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsava, Mamaka Pandavascheva, Kima Kurva Sanjaya. So there he is saying that, "Oh Sanjay, now that both the armies have assembled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what did my sons and sons of Pandu, what did they do?" So this verse, the first verse itself, reveals the fear of Dhritarashtra. In purport we see how Prabhupada mentions that Dhritarashtra says Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre. He says this is a Dharma Kshetra, this is a place of pilgrimage. And he knew that the sons of Pandu, the Pandavas, they are very virtuous. So this place of pilgrimage will have a positive impact on the side of Pandavas. They are already virtuous, they already have greater chances of victory. On top of that, now they are in Dharma Kshetra. So that's why Dhritarashtra was fearful, even in the beginning of war. He knew subconsciously that, you know, there is no chance against Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the other side. How will my sons win? And even after war, he is in a pathetic situation. So Vidura, out of his mercy and sympathy for his brother, he is trying to preach to him. And in the same way, as we mentioned, devotees try to reach out to these people who are in a very fearful situation. They're trying to be happy, they're trying to show that they are happy, but actually subconsciously, you know, they know that death is approaching. Somewhere in the mind, everyone is afraid of death. So in this fearful situation, a devotee is enthusiastic to preach. So in Prabhupada, in one lecture, he was mentioning that how for reaching out to these people who are in fearful situation, we need enthusiasm. That's the only qualification we need. So devotee is very enthusiastic because on behalf of Krishna, he wants to save these fallen souls. Many devotees, we have experienced that how some other devotee helped us. So that's the motivation that, oh, we got this beautiful path of perfection, so we should also help others. So with this enthusiasm actually we can reach out. And also Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj used to say, Pran Ache Yar Sei Hetu Prachar, that one who has life can preach. A dead man cannot preach. So that's the goal of life for all devotees, to reach out to these people somehow or the other, just talk about Krishna. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yare Dekha Tare Kaho Krishna Updesh. So we have to just somehow or other, whoever we meet, just talk about Krishna. A devotee, a non-devotee, whoever it is. According to, of course we discriminate also. That's the qualification of Madhyama Adhikari. He discriminates according to a person he meets, he talks on that level. So further we see in this verse today, there's in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that how there are different types of people in renounced order. So also similar thing is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in 18th chapter, where Krishna tells Arjuna that there are three types of sannyasis. Sannyas is in, or tyaga is in three categories according to modes of nature. So he says, Nishchayam Shinu Me Tatra Tyage Bharata Sattama Tyago Hi Purusha Vyagra Trivida Samprakirtita. So these three types of renunciations. So first one is in mode of ignorance. If one does not perform his prescribed duty and just renounces everything, and he doesn't understand, oh, this thing can be used for Krishna, Krishna's service. So that is in mode of ignorance. He externally he is renouncing, but actually whatever he is renouncing, that can be used for Krishna's service. A family situation, you know, we can hear and chant here also. Prabhupada mentions that, you know, a devotee has to practice first hearing and chanting at home with all the family members. And then there is renunciation. And then second type of renunciation is in mode of passion. So in mode of passion, Krishna says here in 18th chapter, one actually gives up the prescribed duties because they are troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort. So some people may say, oh, this is very hard, this life, we have to work and maintain the family, so it's very troublesome. Take care of kids. It's a struggle. And out of discomfort, if someone just leaves that it's not pleasurable situation. So that's in mode of passion. That's what Krishna says. And finally, we have the third type of renunciation, which is in mode of goodness. In that, one renounces the prescribed duties just because it has to be done, and he does it at a right time and in proper circumstances. So that's a proper type of renunciation, when he renounces all material association and he's not attached to the fruit of his activity. In that situation, it's mode of goodness, as a duty, as a matter of duty. So as we know, in Krishna consciousness, we have to start, at least come to that platform first, before reaching the pure mode of pure goodness. In mode of pure goodness, we have love for Krishna, and the motivation is love rather than just duty. But first we have to come to the mode of goodness, in which there is a duty, sense of duty, that, oh, I'm supposed to do this, I'm ought to do this. So then, slowly we can develop love. And that's the purpose of sadhana bhakti. Otherwise, services can become like a burden. And if we leave the services because, you know, it's a burden, so then there are lower modes, ignorance and passion. Actually, any service, easiest or toughest, any service can become burden. If you have to sweep the temple room, or make garlands, or go for book distribution, or distribute prasad, go to crossways, or lift the buckets. It's so hard. It's a burden. So if we feel that, that's mode of passion. But if, or give a class, you have to prepare so much, and talk according to the verse, and it's a trouble. It's a struggle. You have to spend time for that. But if we do it, do all our services as a matter of duty. No, this is my duty to my spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, our Parama Guru. Then we can come to this mode of goodness. And then by practicing this mode of goodness, this dutiful attitude, then we can reach real love. That, oh, whatever service I am doing is for pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So I'm giving this class, of course it's a duty, but I want to glorify Guru and Krishna with love. So that slowly we should aspire for that platform in all our services. So then that is in mode of pure goodness. and that, and then you're automatically renounced. As we know, when real bhakti develops, knowledge and renunciation, they follow the real bhakti. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janyantyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahitukam. So that's in Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter of first canto. So there it says this renunciation will automatically be there if there is bhakti like that. And further in purport, Prabhupada says that the sincerity of purpose has to be there. We may do different devotional activities with desire for material benefit. But if we apply it properly with a sincere purpose, that our purpose is to please Krishna, then we can actually taste the nectar of real Shuddha Bhakti, Ananya Bhakti. And then what happens, as we know here in purport, there are two lines which are italicized in italics. So here it says, but real perfection of the path of liberation is attained when one is practiced to depend fully on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's practice. So here Prabhupada says, it's in italics, so Prabhupada is stressing on these two lines that we have to practice on how to depend on Krishna. So in our devotional life, we have to put ourselves in some situation where we have to depend on Krishna. In our Bhakti Vaibhav also, Gangeshwar Prabhu was mentioning that there are many services in we can depend on Krishna on all services, in all services, so that the end result is very nice for pleasure of Krishna and temple authorities. But especially we should also put ourselves in situations where we have to exclusively depend on Krishna. Gangeshwar Prabhu was mentioning, like in some services we don't have to, like it's easier. Some services. But some, when you try to reach out to others, sankirtan, then especially in that service you have to depend on Krishna. So somehow or other we want to reach out to people, either if they are coming to temple or we go out to them. So we have to reach out so that we help them. And then we are depending on Krishna in that circumstance. And when we depend on Krishna, then that's the platform of real bhakti. As we know, as jiva, this tiny spirit spark, we are marginal energy, tatastha. Tatastha shakti means it has to take shelter of either the divine energy or the illusory energy. So in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Mahatmanas tu mam partha devi prakriti mashruta. So those who are mahatmas or devotees, they take shelter of the devi prakriti, the internal energy. And what happens to others? So opposite of mahatma is duratma, those who are atheists. So what happens to them? Moga asha moga karmano moga gyan vichetsa rakshisim asurim chaiva prakriti mohinim shita. Those who are taking shelter of illusory energy, what happens? Moga asha. Their asha is the hope. Their hopes are baffled. Moga karmano, their activities are baffled, their attempt to do different activities. And moga gyan, which is they are trying to cultivate different knowledge, they have some knowledge, but in the end, everything, all their plans, they are baffled. They are trying to make big plans, trying to succeed in their life by getting money, house, friends, cars, big tall buildings, but ultimately then there would be 9/11, there would be plane crash and the whole building collapses. And then moga gyan, moga karmano moga gyan vichetasa. So much they are dushkritis. They have some skill, they have some intelligence, but they are using it in a wrong way, not for service of Krishna. So that's why this desires have to be purified. So everyone has desires, we cannot deny that. As a living being, we must desire something. And also in Bhagavad Gita it says that how, second chapter, how these desires enter our consciousness, just like so many rivers are flowing into ocean. But a person who is dhira or a real devotee, he is as deep as a big ocean, he is unmoved by material desires, because he is deep in devotion to Krishna. So he has developed spiritual desires to please Guru and Krishna. And then so many material desires may come, but there is no time and no space for those desires, those material desires. They won't stop coming, they would keep coming. But there is no time in a devotee's life. He is using his time for hearing and chanting like that. So we have to try to become a Mahatma rather than Duratma. And here today's verse we see the another word used is Narottama, a first class man. So who is a first class man? Who is trying to reject these material attachments, attachment to this material world. He is trying to reject it. So that's Narottama, opposite of Naradama, the lowest of human kind who doesn't surrender to Krishna. So also we have to come to this platform. So when we start performing devotional activities, devotional service, then we know that as one approaches Krishna, first there is the neophyte level, the Kanishtha level. So slowly one has to come up to Madhyama, Uttama platform. So in 11th canto we have the story where nine Navayogendras, the nine Yogendras, sons of Rishabhve, they were traveling, and once they came to this sacrifice being performed by Maharaj Nimi, and they Maharaj Nimi welcomed them, and he was very happy to see them. And then he asked various questions, and they started describing about devotional service, Supreme Lord, and so on. So in that discussion they described these different levels of devotees, the Kanishtha platform, and then Madhyama platform, and then Uttama platform. So at Madhyama platform one worships Lord, makes friends with devotees, avoids the atheist and faithless people, and he tries to preach to the innocent people. And then there is also a definition given of Bhagavatottama, the topmost Uttama Adhikari. And that's what's in today's verse also given, Narottama. So here Vidura is trying to tell Dhritarashtra that please come up from this lowest neophyte level to Narottama or Bhagavatottama stage. So he's telling him that, you know, you must leave home in this situation, you must not stay here, you must renounce now. So that's why he's trying to inspire him. So that platform of Bhagavatottama, I'll read this verse from 11th canto, which describes very nicely that what's that level where Vidura is trying to bring Dhritarashtra to. So here it says, that's the second chapter, 50th verse. Na kam karma bijanam yasya chetasi sambhava vasudevaika nilayah savai bhagavatottamah. One who has taken exclusive shelter of the Supreme Lord Vasudev becomes free from fruitive activities which are based on material lust. In fact, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is freed from even the desire to enjoy material sense gratification. Plans for enjoying sex life, social prestige and money cannot develop within his mind. Thus he is considered Bhagavatottama, a pure devotee of the Lord on the highest platform. So this level has to be reached. We should aspire to reach to the highest level of pure devotion. And how we can do that? In today's verse, there are two methods given. As we see, if we see the Sanskrit here, it says, Yaha Swakat Parato Veha. So, Swakat means by his own awakening, that by yourself, by realization. And Paratahava means, or by hearing from others. So, we always hear that we have to accept a spiritual master, Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Gurus. So we hear from them. So this is Paratava. We hear from them, and spiritual master instructs us to serve Krishna. And when we serve, then we get realizations. Our own realizations from within the heart. Krishna is Chaitya Guru. He gives realizations if we follow the instructions of our spiritual master. So these are the two ways given. So Dhritarashtra is here now getting instructions from Vidura. And we have another example in Srimad Bhagavatam, again in 11th canto, where this Avaduta Brahmana, he says that he got realizations from within when he saw these different living entities, different natural phenomena. He got realizations from within. So he says, I have 24 gurus. He is telling this to King Yadu, son of Yayati. So he describes that all these 24 gurus. In that list, there's two examples which I would like to discuss, which relate to Dhritarashtra's situation. One is the example of a pigeon. There's many verses describing the story of a pigeon, that how this pigeon had a female pigeon companion, and then they had kids, small young pigeons. So they both parents became very attached to this young pigeons. They would see their soft wings, and they would get food for them. Then one day one hunter came, and he spread his net, and while both parents were away searching for food, the hunter caught the small pigeons. And when mother returned, she was very distressed, and she just went to try to save them, and she was also caught in hunter's net. And then when the father returned, when he saw the whole situation, so he was distressed because of his intense attachment for his wife and children. He just went blank, actually, when he saw them in trouble. He went totally blank, and he fell down from the tree. So he was also caught, and then hunter happily took him. So there Avaduta Brahmana says that from this example of pigeon, I learned that I should not be attached so much with the home, family and the rest. So same here Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra, don't be attached to this home. You should not remain here anymore. You just leave. And another example that Avaduta Brahmana tells is of the prostitute Pingala. That she was one evening she came out of her house. She was trying to make money, and she was looking at each man who would pass on the street, that oh, this man would satisfy me, give me more money, oh, this one looks very rich. So there also explanation is given that how we actually in our life see these different situations and try to materially enjoy. So that's the teaching we should take from there. At any cost, the prostitute had a very abominable profession, which she later admitted, because in the end she got detachment because of no one was approaching her to give money. So in the end she somehow got detachment. So she admitted, oh, this was an abominable profession, just for some pleasure and money I was doing this. So in material life also, materialists, they try to get material enjoyment from so many things. Recently in a retreat, Devamrit Maharaj was also mentioning how when a materialist goes for a job interview. He's trying to show his resume, like a prostitute was showing her form, and he shows the resume like that, to in order to get money and enjoy material sense gratification. That's the purpose of a materialist. So in our life, we have to get some detachment, that actually it's a position of suffering, this material sense gratification. So somehow we have to develop this attitude of devotion towards Lord. And ultimately here we see, so the instruction Vidura is giving to Dhritarashtra, he says, pravrajet sa hridi kritva harim geha, pravrajet sa narottama. So one leaves home and fully depends on for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here the word is given, pravrajet, goes away. So as we know, there is a Sanskrit verb, vraja. Vraj means to go. We know the famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, sardharman praditajya maam ekam sharanam vraja. So vraja means go or come to my shelter. So here also Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra that pravraja, you should go and take shelter of Lord, and then you would become a Narottama. So this where we have to go, vraja, that's the verb, and also we have to go to vraja, the Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. So that's the very that's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have to ultimately take shelter in Vrindavan, Raja. So I'd like to read this another verse from Nectar of Instruction, where this similar word is there. So it's the 8th verse of Nectar of Instruction. It says, Tannam rupa charitadi sukirtanano smrityo kramena rasana manasini yojya tishthan vrajetadanuragi jananugami kalam naye dakhilam ityupadesha saram. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Golok Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to His devotional service. So that's the message given here, that we have to take full shelter of hearing and chanting process. And then we have to try to reach out to these people. So three most important processes, methods we have of reaching out are the book distribution, prasadam distribution and Harinam Sankirtan. So by all these activities we are trying to help these people in fearful situation to come out and taste this nectar. So book distribution, we can see it's clearly we are trying to glorify Krishna's activities, trying to give them a book and so that they can read and understand. And by prasadam distribution also, people are just captured totally by tongue. You capture them by tongue and bring them to Krishna. Drag them somehow. And I remember, like, I first started going to CrossFit. That was my first contact with Krishna consciousness. So in CrossFit restaurant I used to go. And then there what happens is you see the devotees and you talk to devotees. And that what changes even more. As we know, sadhu sang, this lava matra sadhu sang, sarva shastra ko. So I used to go maybe first few times, and there was one time Glenn Prabhu, who used to be brahmachari that time, he was serving. He asked me, oh, what's your name? Very in a friendly way. So it was maybe my first or second time to CrossFit, and I told him my name. And he said, oh, I like this Indian name. So very nicely he interacted with me, and I liked that. And I went there every day. Every day I used to go there. And slowly, slowly then I got Bhagavad Gita. So this is, we are trying to reach out to people by these prasadam distribution, book distribution, And of course, Harinam Sankirtan, everyone is attracted. When you go for Harinam Sankirtan, it's like people are standing on tram stops or any other place, and this lovely Harinam passes by. So when you see people are standing on a tram stop, and if Harinam is passing by just from behind, they just turn their faces like this, you know, just like when there is sun, the sunflower, you know, turns towards the sun like that. So this holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. He is like the sun. So everyone turns and they are benefited if they hear this holy name. So somehow we have to, for our own purification, for pleasure of Guru and Krishna, and to reach out to all unfortunate people of this Kali Yuga, we have to keep doing these devotional activities as best as we can. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments. Yes, please. Some attachment has to be there, but that's based on the center is Krishna. So then it's fine. If center is Krishna, then there is no problem, because we all are spirit souls, and if we interact with another living entity based on our sense gratification, then that is lust. As in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, Atmendriya Preeti is kama. If we interact with family members, kids and other relatives for our own pleasure, then that is kama. But if it's for Krishna's pleasure, then it's prema. So so our Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion, I think introduction or preface, where he says that this love, to love is the nature of soul. So what is the process so that we can love all living entities? So this Krishna consciousness, when Krishna is in the center, then we love all living entities, which definitely includes our family members. So that attachment, if it's based on Krishna consciousness and hearing and chanting, then that is the perfect attachment actually. And I was hearing another lecture by Devamrita Maharaj. He says in second canto, it says somewhere it's stated, I couldn't find that as yet. You can tell me if you have read there, either in translation or Prabhupada's purport. There it says, if a grahastha, he follows everything properly, develops full Krishna consciousness, he goes back to Godhead also. So at the end of life, so it's a perfect situation, a devotee's life, any ashram. We won't add anything else. I don't know. Yes, Prabhupada.
Madhura instructing Dhritarashtra about that perhaps he should kill Duryodhana.
Yeah.
This we hear about the qualities of the body of Himsa and love, and it took Krishna, you know, to separate the armies and more or less, you know, like speak of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna to get him to stand and fight and kill relatives. So that was a bit of a big ask from Vidura. My question is, like, was that considered as a sanctioned advice from Vidura from Krishna to kill Duryodhana? I mean, what was Vidura's? Because as we understand, Vaishnavas would generally let every living entity run its course of life, receiving its own karma, and you know. I'd be interested to hear what you would have to say about Vidura's instruction.
as far as I remember, one time I heard the narration of Mahabharata by a devotee. So in that, the story is given somehow how these 100 sons were born, were in like separate containers or something, the piece of womb, the embryos were separated in different containers, and somehow when they took birth, they were all inauspicious omens. The wolves were howling and many other inauspicious omens were there. And because Mahatma Vidura is a Mahajan, he is an authority on Dharma, he could see that this personality would create a great trouble and he would actually lead the whole dynasty to perish. So seeing all that, because of his great vision, then he advised that if you kill him, that would be actually better and so many lives would be saved in future. So that's my understanding.
His status as the speaker of the understanding of Dharma.
Yes.
That was his sort of more or less.
Yeah.
What is Mahajan like? You know, they're that exalted that Krishna speaks. Krishna's already sanctioned that person's activities 100%. Is that more or less how we perceive the Mahajan?
Yeah, they're like very pure representatives of Krishna. So whatever they say, we take as Krishna's advice. Like spiritual master, he's a representative of Krishna. What he says is what Krishna is saying, like Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastra. So the spiritual master, these Mahajans, their word is the word of Krishna.
These Shaktivasya Avatars and Mahajan, how do we relate the two? Are they similar?
Yeah, there's just different categories, but yeah, Shaktavis, Avatars, many times they are Jivas, and Mahajans are Jivas. So yeah, they are authorities on religion. So their actions and their words have to be taken seriously, and they are totally in line with Krishna's instructions. Yes,
please. One of the 100 sons, he was
what I heard, he joined Pandava's army. I think his name was Yuyutsu. I think. Anyone remember? Yeah, because before any battle in Vedic times, all these Dharma Yuddhas. Just before that, there was a time when finally when it was about to start, they would tell, okay, if you want to change sides, you can do it now. So at that time, I think this one son, he changed. Yeah, like Vibhishan also changed side. He went to Lord Ram's army and he gave advice how to kill Ravana, like that. So ultimately everyone was killed on the battlefield except for these 6-7 people, 5 Pandavas and 2 more, I think. So everyone was killed and they achieved, according to their realization, they achieved their destination. Those who were favorable, they achieved higher destination. But even those who saw the form and they were still envious, still they achieved very high destination. But definitely Yuyutsu would have achieved even higher. Yes, probably.
I have one comment. First of all, I like your achievement in the yesterday I got a call personally from India because my younger sister husband died. First he had malaria, then typhoid, then ultimately stroke, and finished very quick within 3 days in the hospital. So it was very bad news in the sense that so quickly everything happened. So then we received the message and my wife said to me, because they are doing havan for many years. After that they do havan for 10 days, 20 years like that. So my wife said, actually you should do sankirtan. Sankirtan sit together, do chanting, and distribute some prasadam, and of course the read from the Gita also. So that way you can make the soul which has departed so quickly to go near Krishna, and then you get your body again and you can become a human. But if you are just doing havan, that won't please Krishna at all. And you are not doing much for the departed soul. So why I'm saying this is because we have to learn this thing, as you said. The devotee is meant for teaching everybody, whomsoever they are, Jaya Jaya Krishna. So we have to learn this thing. That if we hear such messages, such devastating messages for children, young children, you know, all that. But if we tell them to what is in this way, what Prabhupada told us, what is the truth, it becomes great sense of what we are discussing in our life. It becomes great practice.
Any other questions?
Just a comment that the Buddha was actually in the incarnation of Yamaraj, so whatever he would have said, it would have been a Maharajan. So whatever he would have said, it would have been alright. And the other thing is, sometimes we preach about detachment from family, detachment from family. But then when I was living in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Mother Stavji's husband passed away, you know, she was really devastated, although her husband was personally Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think as devotees we need to distinguish our attachment based on love and based on lust. And we need to cultivate more based on love. The more put Krishna in the center and strengthen basically the fact. One is born of like the other, because we are not in personal use. Because when we say, oh, we have to get detached, we have to get detached, we may become like a impersonalist, half-hearted, no emotions. And devotees distinguished from impersonalist is in bhava, in emotions. But it's not lust, it's love. And I think we need to more plan on that and how to get there.
Thank you.
Prabhu, when you mentioned Narottama, you said that the, what did you say, you know, the first class man, that you said Naradama. Naradama, which meant?
The lowest among lowest humankind.
That's so close to Narad Muni, isn't it? Naradama.
No.
When you said it, I couldn't quite make it out. Sorry. Is there anything in Narad Muni that has this similar meaning?
Nara Adhama. Adhama is the lowest.
Yeah.
Nara is the
person,
man. And Narada, the word, the meaning of Narada, Nara, it is a small a. Nara is the
person.
Nara is referred to Narayan. Narayan.
Yeah.
And Narada, the means one who gives. So the meaning of Narada is one who gives you Narayana or Krishna.
Mm.
So there's a little bit little difference, Nara and Nara.
And the other linguistic question is Gokul, Goloka, and you said Gaba, Braj, to go, and then we think, where should you go? You said Braj, to go. And then of course, but we know Goloka is is the cow, is the land of the land of the cow, the planet. That Braj itself, meaning go, has a different meaning there when it goes to go lower, doesn't it? Obviously, I mean, when you say Braj means to go,
yeah.
When devotees say to go to Braj,
yeah.
Can you tell me the meaning of Braj?
Yeah, that's my understanding I saw in the dictionary, because Vraj is a, without A in the end, V-R-A-J, is a verb, which means to go or to move, to proceed.
And
when the A, it becomes a type of verb, like in Vraja, when you say Sardharman Paritaje Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, that's the A there, so it means, it's a kind of a form of usage of verb, right, Prabhu? Vraja means, like, giving an instruction there, right? You go, you take shelter of Krishna.
So the go becomes like taking shelter, almost.
Yeah, surrender to Krishna.
So at that point, Sanskrit is a such a beautiful language. One word can have many meanings.
Yeah.
It depends on the use. Here there is Geha, Geha and Kurmi. So both words are can take pleasure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai,
Gautama Namo.